Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from The Voice of America on Thursday, March 17th, 2016. Thank you for joining us this evening live from Washington. This is Dimyake Mwakalyelye. Here are our top stories this evening. The Southern African Development Community, or SADC, approves an emergency drought declaration in the region.
It's a very strong statement from stakeholders in the region. It's rare.
Nearly 800 people in Zimbabwe's Bytebridge district, hit by severe floods, start getting help from government and various organizations.
The Department of Social also provided us with food. My own council also provided us with food, and they rescued us from feeding them since Saturday. Daily we give them some meal. Central government also gave us blankets.
And Zimbabweans speak out on land reform as the government prepares to compensate disempowered white farmers.
I'm glad to say, having elected Mugabe in 1980, riding on the promise that he is going to redistribute land to people, he has scored on that one. And the majority of people now own pieces of land.
These stories and much, much more coming up. Please stay tuned. The Southern African Development Community, or SADC, has approved a declaration of the regional drought disaster in acknowledgement of the severe levels of hunger and food insecurity in the region. If no action is taken to address the issue brought on by drought as a result of El Nino, there is fear that the number of people affected in Southern Africa will rise to 50 million, up from the current estimates of 28 to 30 million. International aid organizations, Oxfam, Save the Children, and Care International are jointly calling on donors to respond to the SADC call with urgency. Despite the many appeals for funding and food assistance for Zimbabwe, Oxfam's Nelly Nyangwa tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the response has been slow.
What concerned us is that there hasn't been much sense of urgency coming from donors, coming from government. And so as Oxfam, we have been lobbying quite a bit for these agencies to take action. So we saw Zimbabwe declare an emergency some 3-4 weeks ago. And now to see SADC coming in and declaring an emergency as well, that to us is a positive step forward. It's not enough. We need to do more. But it's positive that they have done that.
And what does this declaration of the regional drought disaster by SADC mean?
It's a very strong statement from stakeholders in the region. It's rare, and I don't think we remember when a whole region declared a disaster. But the significance of this is that SADC is acknowledging that this is unprecedented. It's a big crisis that's affecting most of the countries in the region. And as a group of governments in this region, they acknowledge that it's a big disaster that needs to be declared at the regional level. So it's a very strong political statement coming from the leadership in SADC. But secondly, it's also going to help us to highlight the plight of the people we are talking about. So we needed more voices, and the SADC is one of the stronger voices that we have been waiting for. So for me, it's an important statement because it's also going to help us be able to mobilize the resources that we have been looking for in the region. And our hope is that key stakeholders are going to look at what SADC has done as a serious message that gets them to take action.
Tell us briefly about your work in Zimbabwe, for example.
In Zimbabwe, we do a lot of development work. And under normal circumstances, when there's no crisis, we have been doing a lot of work with the farmers. We have also done healthy work around HIV/AIDS, social reproductive health. We do quite a lot of work around women's rights as well. And so when we have an emergency like this, our first observation and assessments come out of the fact that we are on the ground with this flood. So we're able to pick that up.
Southern Africa Regional Director for Oxfam, Nelly Nyangwa, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Beitbridge Town Secretary Loud Ramaklapula says the situation is getting back to normal following flash floods that hit the southern border town last Friday night, affecting more than 770 people. Ramaklapula says they managed to get assistance in the form of food, blankets, clothes and water buckets from the government and other well-wishers. Of the 777 people affected, 285 are children. Ramaklapula says the floods were so severe that some of the affected people had to seek refuge on rooftops. He tells Studio 7 that they're now working to address issues of drainage in the most affected areas.
The situation for now is getting back to normal, but on Friday night and obviously Saturday, Sunday, it was terrible. These people are at the southern tip of the town, and the main river that cuts through the town, all the water flows to that area. And where they are circled, it's almost like a V-shape. And so all the water just came through there. And some of the guys are staying in some hostels, council-owned hostels. And that's where they started getting water going up to window level, affecting them. And they had to go out into rooftops. And then next to that, their houses, which is zeros. And then when those zeros failed, the water then got into people's houses. That then became a problem. And at the end of the day, we found that 777 people were affected, of which out of those 285 are children, and of the 285 children, 232 of them are school-going age.
Did you manage to get any assistance from the government and other organizations?
Yes, we did. The Department of Social Welfare provided us with food. My own council also provided those food, and the rest we are still feeding them since Saturday. Daily we give them some meals. Central government also gave us blankets, buckets, soap, just to make them restart their lives. We also got NGOs coming in as well, pledging to assist. World Vision has also come in to assist. Even individuals have also brought in assistance to those people.
Floods sometimes bring in diseases such as diarrhea, typhoid, and other ailments. Have you had any problems so far?
No, we have not. We have not had that problem. Our health team has gone around to test the water. We've also done disinfections of those streams. The sewer lines were also cut. The water lines were also cut through that stream. So we've done disinfections. We've also tested the water and found that it is fine. But obviously, we are still going on trying to monitor the situation because you never know what may happen after about a week or so. But we are monitoring the situation. But so far, we haven't had any situation, so diarrhea or anything related to that.
That was Loud Ramaklapula, Beitbridge Town Secretary, speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. As Zimbabweans prepare to compensate white commercial farmers who were evicted from their land under President Robert Mugabe's controversial agrarian reforms, some beneficiaries maintain that the program was designed to economically empower indigenous blacks. Critics, on the other hand, believe that the land reforms were a political game played by Mr. Mugabe's government, which needed to show up support before an election featuring the opposition Movement for Democratic Change led by Morgan Tsvangirai. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa has more details.
President Mugabe's government, which is looking for funding from international finance institutions, is now admitting that the land reform that started in 2000, targeting almost 4,000 white commercial farmers, were wrong. Lands, Rural and Resettlement Minister Douglas Mombeshora is quoted by the Mail and the Guardian newspaper saying as a result, efforts are now being made by the state to compensate the white farmers. Mombeshora did not give specific details on how much money the government needs to fully compensate the disempowered white farmers. Zimbabwe is under pressure from the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank and similar institutions to implement the recently agreed measures before it accepts fresh loans. The country stopped receiving such loans about 20 years ago due to various reasons, including the controversial land reforms. Despite the government's admission that the land reforms were not conducted properly, some beneficiaries commended President Mugabe for spearheading the land reforms. One of the beneficiaries is Clifford Kupeko of Mashonaland and West Province.
One of the factors of production is land. So land is very, very critical. And I'm glad to say, having elected Mugabe in 1980, riding on the promise that he is going to redistribute land to people, he has scored on that one. And the majority of people now own pieces of land. And I must say, everyone is happy about the land issue. We are not talking about production. Production becomes another issue.
Another landowner, Jeremiah Ngwerume of Mangura, says land defines one's freedom and doesn't regret the taking over a commercial farm which was once owned by a white person.
The relationship between Mugabe and the white community started getting sour when his government was now distributing the land to the black majority of this country. Because you remember, this land was in the hands of the few whites who were in this country. People were now voicing their concern about their need for that land. Because remember, it was the main reason why the armed struggle was waged. It was because of land. And land defines your freedom. People could not wait any longer for their land. They wanted their land there and there. So Mugabe was left with no choice but to give people back their land. And this land was being taken largely from the white people.
Former Mashonaland West ZANU-PF chairman Themba Moliswa, who was expelled from the party for allegedly teaming up with other senior officials to allegedly topple the president at an elective congress, praises Mr. Mugabe for embarking on the land reform.
To me, in him being the leader of something which people had gone to fight for, where people died in the struggle to have land, he did well in making sure that it happens. I've been empowered and I will not lie. And to me, the farm is actually key in sustaining my thing welfare and that of the extended family. So on the land reform, Mugabe certainly, as a leader, did very well.
He claims that some attempts were made by the ruling party to take back the land from him when he was dumped by ZANU-PF. At least 300 white commercial farmers out of an estimated 3,500 remain on productive land in Zimbabwe, which contributed a lot to the country's gross domestic product before the farm seizures. Indications are that the invasions slashed the export income from crops and fueled political conflicts local and with Western nations that criticize Mr. Mugabe from forcibly taking over land owned by white commercial farmers. In terms of production on some of the farms which are lying idle, Kupego says that it has to be left for the next generation.
The land has been distributed. Imagine people who are living in overcrowded places, very unproductive places, have been now moved and now own pieces of land and now own farms. And that has never happened in Africa, let alone in the world, that one can get pieces of land or farms for free. So this is a major milestone.
But Tinashe Karemba of Makonde, a member of the Movement for Democratic Change led by Tsvangirai, says he refused to take over one of the farms on the basis of his political affiliation. He says the land reforms were needed but done wrongly by the ZANU-PF government.
I think land reform needs to be revised, and those people with many farms and big hectares should be cut so that we can accommodate other people. Because it's of no point to have someone with 300 hectares whilst the production is only at 10 hectares. It's so unfair to others.
The IMF and the World Bank are engaged in Zimbabwe on releasing fresh loans for the Southern African nation, which needs it for revamping its ailing economy. Conditions for releasing the funds include the compensation of white commercial farmers and the payment of loan arrears of almost $2 billion. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Ata Chigoriwa.
Now we have some breaking news that just came in. Mazowe North Member of Parliament Edgar Chidawayenzi of ZANU-PF was reportedly found dead in his hotel inn room in Harare this afternoon. National Police Spokesperson Senior Assistant Commissioner Charity Charamba has confirmed that the incident had happened but could not give further details, saying police are still at the scene investigating the matter. Charamba said, quote, "I can confirm that the MP was found dead inside his hotel room, but I do not have much details as our investigating officers are still at the scene," end quote. We have to have more details for you tomorrow.